Good morning. Good to see you this morning. We're glad you're here to worship with us. A lot of things going on. We did have a good time yesterday when we first left. We were wishing we had snowmobile suits, but by the time we got back, we were glad we were dressed for summer. And so we had a great time. If you ordered a t-shirt for yesterday and weren't here to get it, please take it off of the table today. If you didn't order one and want one, wait in line. No. Just if you ordered one, get it today because they can't go back to BCH. They don't want them back, and there's no need to store them. They're really nice shirts, so just help yourself, please, and we'll have a good time. This Thursday and Friday, they're going to do some general maintenance over on the ILP home. Bill Britton is coming down from Michigan with a contractor, and they're going to do some particular work. And if you want to go just for part of one day, or you want to go a day, it's really flexible, and both men and women are invited. Let me know, and we'll set it up so that you can be a part of that. It'll be a fun time together. Ladies, the Bible study for you is on Tuesday, not Monday. It'll be Tuesday like it always is. I missed that when she asked me, is everything okay? I said yes. Should have been Tuesday, so put that down. Would you keep Troy Pentland in your prayers, please? He has been given an all-expense-paid trip to San Diego, California. They're even paying for all the room, board, food. All expenses are covered for the next who knows how long. He's going to become a Marine, okay? It's an interesting thing they've done out there. That camp is right on the Pacific. I mean, it's right on the beach. And one of the dividing fences of the camp is on the airport, the San Diego airport. Now, there's some psychology to that, because every time a plane lands or take off, those guys look and say, that's freedom. But they don't get to, so you be in prayer for Troy, okay? If you would like to make a donation to BCH, the envelopes are on a table there. You can get those. It's good to see you. Brock and Tara, welcome. We're glad you're here. It's good to see you. And Lee, it is really good to see you, my brother. We're glad you're back. Lee's had quite a week. He had a 9-hour surgery this week, and I think you said they worked on 30 circuits in your heart, right? Is that what you said? And he had to lay on the table for perfectly still for 6 hours after the 9-hour surgery. And I think it's amazing that he's up and around, and keep him in your prayers, please. Good to see you. Glad you're here. I think that takes care of everything. Let's just bow in prayer now and ask the Lord to minister to us. Let's pray together. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, it is good that we are able to share with others the account of our salvation because your great mercy to us. And we thank you for all that you have done for us and for calling us here to worship this morning, and we would ask that this worship service would be pleasing in your sight. We have come because we have been in battle this week. We have come, Father, because we need to hear from you, from your word this morning. And we pray that our hearts will be attentive to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And it is our prayer that all this will be acceptable to you. Thank you for giving us the ability to produce wealth. We know that that ability comes only from you. And it is our pleasure, our privilege, to share our tithes and offerings to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We would ask that you alone would be sovereign in this hour and that the Holy Spirit would have complete liberty in our hearts. And we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Could you please stand for the reading of Scripture? We're going to read Book of Proverbs, chapter 11. Verse 30. And the fruit of the righteous tree is a tree of life, and whoever captures souls is wise.
Let's ask the Lord's blessing on this part of the service. Our Father, it is our great privilege to bow before you, to come confidently to the throne of grace and lay before you all our requests and know of a certainty that you will answer them, to deal with them according to your own good and perfect will. And we thank you this day for our redemption. We thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank you for your mercy and your kindness, your patience, which is to draw us to you in repentance. And Father, we pray with David that you will teach us your way, and we will walk in your truth. And with him we ask for an undivided heart that we might fear your name. As Job told us, the Almighty is beyond our reach and exalted in power. And in your justice and your great righteousness, you do not oppress. Thank you, Father, for being a God of all comfort, for being a God of all wisdom. We would ask you to forgive us of our sins. In these past days, we have knowingly and wantingly sinned against our Father in heaven. And we do thank you that the penalty has been taken away because of the blood of Christ. But our Father, we pray that you will wash us, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we would ask that you would teach us, help us to hide your word in our hearts so that when we are tempted, we will not sin against you, but rather we will choose the way of the Lord. And our Father, we come to you this morning and we praise you for what you have done. Thank you for seeing Lee through his surgery, and thank you for giving him the strength, the desire to worship with us this morning. And we thank you for the testimony that both he and Ruth are to us. And we pray, our God, in the days to come, that you will continue to heal and strengthen. And we pray that what has been done will be used. And we would ask that you would just lay your healing hand upon him. And we thank you for the way that you have walked with others this week through dark valleys. And we know that there are still those who walk in those valleys and who struggle and who are burdened, who are being rousted, being badly tormented by the devil. And God, we ask you to undertake for them. We ask you to show them the way. We ask you to bring peace and strength to their heart and perseverance, and that perseverance might have its perfect work in their life, that they are complete and wanting nothing. And we thank you, Father, for all that you have brought to us. And we thank you for the ministry opportunities and the doors that you have opened. And we would pray for those around us without Christ. And we would ask that you would continue to draw those who have ministered to folks into the lives of those people, that they might come to know Christ as Savior. Give them wisdom. Give them just the right words at just the right time to say, Father, to win hearts to you. We would ask that you would watch over Troy this week as he leaves his family and goes for his training. We pray that you will guard him. We pray that you will teach him, strengthen him. We would ask that you would continue to help us grow. Our Father, as we look to the Word now, we need to let the Spirit of God minister to our hearts. And we know that you have brought us here to speak to us each in exactly the right way to help us understand. And so where it is necessary, point to us the error of our ways, that we might, as you have told us, be saved from death and cover over a multitude of sins. God, we're so thankful for the way you work, and so we just ask you now to teach us as you know we need to be taught. We'll praise and honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're working in Proverbs chapter 11, looking at the verse, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And last week we learned that everything about the true Christian's life is represented as fruit, or as the product that originates within a Christian heart and then is manifested in the life. And, pardon me, we learned that when that fruit is good, it is that fruit that God uses to draw others to him. And when the fruit is bad, it repulses the ungodly and the unsaved, actually pushing them from Christ. The concept reminds us of Jesus' teaching recorded by Luke in his gospel and chapter 6. Would you go there, please? You can put your ribbon in Proverbs and go to Luke chapter 6. I'm going to read in verse 43, Luke chapter 6, verse 43, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. The evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. I'm sure that Jesus had read the book of Proverbs, and for you and I, that same concept is found in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 19 that says, as water reflects the face, so the heart reflects the man. People who call themselves Christians know in their heart when their fruit is good and when it's bad. Now, listen, even a good tree occasionally has a bad fruit. The question is this: is the abundance of the fruit that you produce good or bad? The abundance. Now, I know that we all know the real answer to that question. Our focus this week is on the second half of the verse, that he who wins souls, or as Conrad read from the ESV, he who captures souls is wise. Captures is the Hebrew word that Solomon used. Wins is, it's the same concept. Captures help us understand it a little better. There are two principles here, and last week we learned how the fruit provides life, and this week we're going to look at the wisdom of winning souls and how those two concepts or truths work together. I want to begin, of course, with wisdom. Baker's Encyclopedia of the Bible defines wisdom as a capacity of the mind, and in the Old Testament it involves both knowledge and the ability to direct the mind toward a full understanding of human life and toward its moral fulfillment. And Baker goes on to say, wisdom is a special capacity necessary for full human living. Now, God created us so that we can catch on to things. And what this is telling us is that in our mind we have the ability to come to the fulfillment or the realization of the reason and purpose God brought us into living anyway. Wisdom can be acquired through education and the application of the mind. Now, doesn't all of this so far sound really impressive? The idea is, so what? What does it all mean? And basically it comes down to this. It means this. In God's creative genius, he gave to everybody the ability to learn, to understand, and to reason. Even while we are
sinful human beings, we've been given to understand, and we can learn that all people need a Savior. Everybody can come to that idea. We have the mental capacity to reason that God has offered to us in His redemptive plan a way out, and He's offered that to the human race. Wisdom also means that every person who accepts God's gracious gift of salvation is, for the rest of their earthly life, responsible to God who saved them. And we are responsible to learn to live in harmony with His laws. We see that every day in our own families. There are responsibilities that we have, and we live in harmony with the rules of the family. Let's take it just one step further. Do you know why all this is so important to us as Christians, and especially, number three? Wisdom is one of what we call one of God's communicable attributes. And what that means is it's one of His characteristics that He shared with us because we're created in His likeness and image. God does not have wisdom. God is wisdom. God is understanding. You and I have it in part. You and I have that because God gave us that part of His being, His nature, His character. And the reason that that's so important is this. God always chooses for everything the best goal. And when God chooses the best goal, He then chooses the best means or the best way to get to that goal. Now, that being true, a true Christian learns by personal experience and understands from deep within their heart then that being true, God's way is always the best way to the best outcome. Are we okay with that so far? Now, that's kind of a trick question. Because if we say, yes, we agree with that, that's okay. The question comes up, then why don't we live that way? We are guilty in our humanity when we understand in our own private devotions. When we understand Scripture, we say, I see what God is teaching me here. But I have a better idea. Really? If we agree with this, that kind of takes care of the questions, doesn't it? In prayer meeting, where we are in studying, if you want to walk on the water, you got to get out of the boat. We're talking about the general It's the general topic of fear and all the things that fear brings to us. The point is this. Most of the time, we fear what might. What might. We're uncertain. We don't. And we begin to develop, what if? What if God asked me to do this? What if I have to change? And all those things, right? Now, I appreciate the support that some of you are offering because you're kind of smiling and says, yeah, I kind of been there, done that, because I don't want to think I'm the only one that lives like that. Thank you. Beloved, this is either true or it isn't. And there's nobody in this room that would say, I got a problem with that. when God says to us that His way is the best way, we just have to accept that. One writer sums up the principle of allowing the wisdom of God to govern our life and our lifestyle by saying it this way. Listen to this. The ways of righteousness are plain and safe, and in them we may enjoy a holy security. The ways of wickedness are dangerous, and those who indulge themselves in sin are fitting themselves for destruction. Now, I need to explain something to you. I just want to remind you. We are talking about a way of life. Paul said, I am amazed that God saved me. He says, I'm the least of the apostles because I am chief of all the sinners. I heard a guy say one day, Paul could say that because I hadn't been born yet. Now I get to be the chief of the sinners. Beloved, we're all sinners. We sinned yesterday, we'll sin today. But the point is this, the abundance of fruit. What describes your life should not be an occasional sin. What describes your life should be your character as a way of life. And that's what he's talking about here. And listen to me, is it not true? The ways of righteousness are plain and safe, and in them we may enjoy a holy security. Listen, when you know you're walking with the Lord, when you know that you've got your whole heart into it and you're really looking to grow in the Lord, you feel secure, don't you? It's okay. And yet, when we indulge in those things that are still holdovers from the old way of life, we know we're doing wrong, and we're constantly kind of looking over our shoulder or looking around to see who's there to hear or see or catch us, right? It's just kind of an uncomfortable feeling. You know, you shouldn't be there, but you're there. And this writer is saying, in obedience, in walking with the Lord, in harmony with Him, there is safety, security, peace, comfort. This is for a person who claims to be a Christian. And when you're not in harmony, you know it. And there's that unrest. In Proverbs 10:27, Solomon says, the fear of the Lord adds length to life, but the years of the wicked are cut short. We don't often think of that, but that's true. And if you want to enjoy long life, then you walk in harmony with the Lord. In chapter 11, where we are, Solomon is explaining that God has clearly explained in great detail the way that the life of a true Christian is to follow. And then when they do so, God then delivers them and makes them stronger in their daily living for Him and blesses them so they can bless others. Listen. Those Christians who live the lifestyle explained in chapter 11, in all of Proverbs, in all of Scripture for that fact of the matter, exhibit the wisdom of God. God sees that that happens. God works that out in our life. And from a practical viewpoint, such people understand that when God opens a new and deeper truth to them, because of their quiet time with Him, because of their study in the Word, because of their quiet time in prayer, listening to God speak to them as much as they speak to God, that God is offering to them a way, the best possible way, to the best possible goal. What is God's goal for you as a Christian? What is the ultimate goal to which God is leading you? You are being conformed to the image of the Son of God. There is no higher goal. There's no better place to be going than there. And beloved, those of you that walk with the Lord, those of you that get this, understand what's going on, and listen, you willingly walk with Him. And can I suggest to you that in the doctrine of grace, you are experiencing that and you are demonstrating that, because when you walk with the Lord out of desire, it is a clear indication to you that you have understood the concept of grace and you want to please the Lord, not because of what's in it for you, but because of what He's already done to you in redeeming you, in taking away the eternal penalty of sin, in conforming you to the image, in releasing to you the truth of Scripture, showing you down in your heart that life with God is life. And as Jesus said, it is abundant life. All of that comes out of wisdom. And if you're one of those people, and when you sit and contemplate it, it is reasonable, it is logical to follow God's leading in your life. And you also get this, that when you follow the Lord, the Lord's way to the Lord's goal, it is not always easy, is it? God does not take us the easy way. But Solomon says this, when you trust to the Lord with all your heart, even when you don't understand, when you lean on Him, you don't lean on your own understanding, and you acknowledge Him in all your ways, He makes your path straight. Straight. And sometimes it leads straight through the valley. Sometimes it leads straight into the furnace. Sometimes it leads straight in to great stress, great trial. You and I might say great temptation. Paul told Timothy, if we persevere, or if we stay with it, we will also reign with Christ, but if we deny Him, He will also deny us. In the same context, James says in chapter 1 and verse 4 that perseverance must complete its work. Why? So that you are mature and complete, not lacking anything. And Solomon is telling us that if we follow the straight path and walk with the Lord, even though it's not always easy, it is always the most significant, the most beneficial, and the most rewarding. And beloved, we haven't even begun to see what God has saved for us in heaven. Or the best is yet to come. You see, if you understand in your heart that what God tells us to do helps us grow in wisdom, If I'm wrong about this, I apologize, and I would invite you to come if you can help me with this. I haven't yet found anywhere in Scripture where God says, in all of your earthly life, no matter how much you work and walk with me, you can only have so much. God puts no limits on what he's willing to share with us. You know why? Because there are no limits on what God has to share with us. All that he has to share with us is both infinite and eternal. Cool, huh? Okay? There's never any such thing as an economic crisis with God. And there are a whole bunch of you here that get that. There are a whole bunch that know exactly what I'm talking about. There are some that wish they understood. There are some who find conflict with this because they say, well, it isn't working for me. It's because you're not walking with him. His way. You see, God keeps drawing us in. And as we're drawn in, you know what? One day, the distance you're drawn in may be immeasurable. And another day, you may look and say, I had no idea I'd come this far. And God is always trying to draw us into Scripture, into himself, where again, as Solomon says, we discover those apples of gold in settings of silver. It's why he tells us that it is much better to get wisdom than gold, to choose understanding rather than silver. When we lay up treasure in heaven, we're laying up for us an eternal benefit that we just can't imagine. The interesting byproduct of wisdom and learning to think and live the way God wants us to is that we actually begin to understand the wisdom of capturing souls. The verse says that he who wins souls is wise. I have a question for you at this point. When you read a verse like this, do you just automatically think, he who wins souls is wise? Okay, that's leading someone to the Lord. And if you lead someone to the Lord, that's wisdom. And the more people you lead to the Lord, the wiser you are, or you must be. Well, let me help you with something. I hope it comforts you when I say this. That's not what this is talking about. But it is an eventual goal. This verse has a different slant. Now, the foundation or the focal point of the verse is the fruit of the righteous. That's where the attention comes. Or what is seen in your daily life as you walk with the Lord. The tree is the source of life. Without the tree, there is no fruit. Without the plant, there is no fruit. Solomon uses an interesting Hebrew word here, and it's translated wins in the NIV, and we said captures in the ESV. And the reliable versions go back and forth. In the context of the word Solomon used, he means this: to gain or win, especially through effort, to captivate and hold the interest of, to take according to the rules. Now, when you read that and you think about that, does the picture become a little more clear to you? I hope. Now listen. Pay careful attention, because none of these things suggest an event. None of these things suggest walking up to someone and saying, you know you're going to go to hell if you don't get saved. You know you're going to go to hell if you don't accept Christ as your Savior. Now, that's biblical truth. But that's not the way you open a conversation. That's not wisdom. each one of these things is teaching us that it is a continuous effort, a continual focus, and a clear understanding of the rules that have to be followed. Here's the problem. To way too many people who call themselves Christians, words like process and effort and focus and following the rules don't sit well, especially in our culture and society. Those words conjure up all kinds of thoughts that people, especially legalists, hypocrites, liars, and other fakes, just despise. They hate them. But true Christians find the words process, effort, focus delightful. They find them appealing, and it's because they understand in their heart that those are all attributes. Those are all words that God uses to describe how He works with us on a daily basis. And they understand, too, it's how God wants them to relate to other people. So let's see if we can put all this together, because if when we get this put together, it helps us understand, I think, how intricately God works with us in His entire redemptive relationship with man. The wisdom of God means that God always chooses the best goal and the best way to get there. Wisdom on the part of the true Christian means that we understand and have reasoned that submission and obedience to God in all parts of our life results in a life that's filled with abundance, with blessing, with security, all those things we'd like to see happen. So here's how it works. When a true Christian demonstrates in their life and reveals to others the fruits of righteousness, love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, those fruits of the Spirit listed in Galatians 5:22 and other places throughout Scripture. All of those life-changing characteristics are a result of those individuals allowing God to reform them or transform them into the image of Christ. And they do that, they allow that to happen, because they realize again God is leading them in the best possible way to the best possible goal. And anything in between is designed by God, allowed by God, planned by God to make us all that He's designed us to be. Now, just that one truth produces a life and a lifestyle that's radically different from the life of the ungodly and the unsaved. And I understand that. It's designed to be that way. But one of the results that God brings into the life of a righteous person is the desire to share with others the pure goodness of God's grace. Huh? You like to tell people what God is doing. You want them to have it. You want them to understand. Want them. You have that almost ache in your heart for them to experience what you've experienced. Amen? Right? We do, don't we? Peter talks about that. And you remember a few weeks, months ago, we memorized chapter 4 and verse 10 in 1 Peter, which said, everyone should use whatever gift they have been given. Do you remember why? To serve others. We've been given a gift to serve others. Why? Because God ministers to us fully, completely, inexhaustibly. And so we're free to minister to others. And when we do that, we properly administer the grace of God in all its various forms. all the different ways God says, see how grace can play into your life? And so the fruit of a tree not only propagates the tree and keeps that going, it's a benefit to others as well. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. What people see as we walk with the Lord gives them hope. It draws them. They say they're living on something. There's something about that that's appealing. So when a Christian produces the fruit of the Spirit, it not only benefits you, it benefits those around you. And oftentimes, when we live the kind of a life that God wants us to live, and we show to others that God's salvation really does make a difference, we capture the attention of those around us, and that in turn causes them to come to the tree to get the fruit. Now, I understand in Genesis 3 that Moses is saying when Eve looked at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree had fruit that was to be desired. And beloved, could I suggest to you, please, that your life as a redeemed individual and the fruits of the Spirit that you and I are to demonstrate are designed by God to be desirable and satisfying to you and to others. Probably a lot of you have got little cherry tomatoes, haven't you? Aren't they just great right off the vine? Huh? There's some that are just as sweet. Yeah, see, some of you are smiling and say, yeah, we've been there. See? Can you eat just one? No? Can I ask you something? When people see the fruit on your tree, do they want some? And when they taste of the fruit on your tree, by interacting personally with you in whatever situation that may be, is the fruit, that is the characteristic, the nature of your life and lifestyle, so attractive to them that it's hard for them to just have that one experience with you? They want to talk to you more. That's what Solomon is saying. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And God has so designed that fruit that it is captivating. It is alluring. It is desirable to those who see it. And so you and I need to ask ourselves the question, is the abundance of my fruit drawing people to Christ? Is it encouraging other believers? Or am I driving people away? Now we know the answer to that. And he who wins souls is wise. Father, thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you, Father, for your ministry in our life, and thank you so much. By your divine grace, you have given us the gift of wisdom, of reasoning, of understanding and learning. And thank you that you have called us to taste of the Lord and see that he is good. So would you just meet with each of us as you know is best to cause us to respond to you in a right way. And would you teach us to be wise stewards of the gift that you have given to us. We will honor and praise and thank you forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.